I cast my mind
to Calvary,
where Jesus bled and died for me.
I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree.
The entrance sealed and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb.
The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Son of heaven rose again. Oh, trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name for blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name for
let's sing it a cappella. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God.
Thank you.
The Bible talks about praising the Lord even on the stringed instruments, but I'm not sure he meant banjo, but we'll take it. I'm sure the Lord... Aren't you glad that we can come together this morning and lift up the name of the Lord?
Oh, deny with thee, peace be still, in a love life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Breaking new ground. breaking new ground. Make me a vessel, make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. And where there is new wine, there is new power, there is new freedom. The kingdom is here. I lay down my old flames to carry your new fire today. Make me an offering, make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Making their way down from the choir loft, and while our children are on their way to children's church after that wonderful song by the choir, why don't we do this? Let's bow our heads and let's just say together the Lord's Prayer. And we'll use the word debt and debtors. And so let's do that. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Wow. Been a great morning of worship already, hasn't it? So Kent, thank you so much, and choir, thank you, and Heather, and Shayla, and Lauren, and Elias, and David, and instrumentalist. You've got a lot of talent, and I appreciate seeing this talent just laid at the feet of Jesus and being used for His glory. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, to the book of Romans, and take your listening sheets. Keep your Bibles open to the 8th chapter of Romans. Get a pen or pencil for our listening sheets as we share a message entitled, No Condemnation. Now, there was a man who was on trial for stealing a very expensive gold watch and gold chain. And so all of the evidence was presented to the judge. And then after all of the evidence had been presented, the judge had the defendant stand in front of him, and he said to the defendant, after hearing all of the evidence, the verdict of this court is acquittal. Well, the man looked up at the judge and he scratched his head and he said, I don't understand. And the judge said, sir, you are acquitted of your crime. And the man looked at him. He said, what does that mean? And the judge said, well, it means, sir, that you have been found not guilty. You have been acquitted. And rather exasperated, the man looked up at him and he said, look, judge, I just want to know, do I have to give back the watch and chain? Well, let me talk to you today about spiritual acquittal. Let's read about it in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's an amazing verse, folks. And what I'm going to share with you over the next few minutes is amazing news. Just phenomenal news for each and every one of us. Now, let's just pretend in our mind that you are in a spiritual prison and you have been found guilty of your sins. Now, to be honest with you, there's not a whole lot of pretending at that point, because the fact of the matter is, you are guilty of your sins. That's just it. We are guilty. And so let's pretend that we're sitting on death row. That's sort of chilling, isn't it? We're sitting on death row, waiting to be sentenced. And then we're summoned before the judge to pronounce sentence. And the judge looks right into your eyes and he says, J. Scribner. Now, obviously, put your own name there. The judge says your name. And he says, you have been found guilty of sin and deserving of death. However, I hereby declare that for you there is now no condemnation. Yeah, I just started to say that ought to make a Baptist say hallelujah. We got one Baptist in the midst, uh-huh. Whoa, I'm telling you. And that even ought to make a Baptist do a little happy dance. Or in Baptist terms, foot function. Now think about this. We are guilty of sin, and we do deserve death. But the judge looks at us and he says, I declare for you there is therefore now no condemnation. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yeah. That's what I'm going to show you over the next few minutes. Now, I'd encourage you sometime this week, be a good study for you. Go back to chapter 5 of Romans. Just pick it up with chapter 5. And in chapter 5, the key theme there is justification. Wow. Maybe I'll have time to do a sermon about justification. What an amazing theological concept that is, justification. And you'll read that in Romans chapter 5. And then move on in chapter 6, and you see a great exhortation there where Paul says that you need to know and you need to reckon and you need to yield. Those are three key words in the 6th chapter of Romans. They're amazing. And then you come to Romans chapter 7 and you sense the emotion of exasperation. You ever been exasperated spiritually? Well, Paul indicates that in Romans chapter 7. Matter of fact, look at that. We're in Romans 8, but go ahead back into chapter 7 where he concludes, "Oh, wretched man," verse 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He obviously is exasperated. And then in Romans chapter 8, we move into that glorious chapter, and we have the theme of restoration. And he begins Romans chapter 8 by saying, "Therefore." Now here is God's declaration of restoration in response to our exasperation in context of this elongated treatise going all the way back to chapter 8. This is amazing news that I'm getting ready to unfold for you that Paul gives us just in the first verse, and then he gives several verses all the way through chapter 8. So let's look at this. Let me give you these four things. We're talking about no condemnation, and here's number one, and that is a present reality. A present reality. And he says in verse 1, "There is therefore now." You see that? There is therefore. Say that word with me. Now. There is therefore now. When is it? Now. Now. See, you don't have to wait till judgment day to know the verdict. That's good. You don't have to sit there in the courtroom wondering how this thing's going to come out. We know now. We know what the circumstance is. We know what the situation is. We know how the judge is judging. And he says, "There is therefore now." You know, it's like an electronic transfer. My wife will sit down, and she does our bookkeeping for us, And for some time now, she'll be sitting down at her computer, and I'll hear, and I'll say, "What was that noise?" And she'll say, "That was our money being sucked out of our account." Just like that. And that's sort of the way this is. It's like a debit card, or it's like electronic transfer. And you hear that sound. Whoop. It just happens just like that. And it's immediate. It's up to date. It has taken place. And it's instant. Well, when does this application of grace and mercy go into effect? When is it applied to your account? Now, catch this. It's not a matter of your performance. Saying, "Oh, I wonder. I wonder if I'm going to measure up. It's not a matter of wondering about God's judgment. It's not a matter of guessing. It's not a matter of hoping. Listen, you can check the verdict of your account now. Right now. I'm going to go to the dentist this week. Go like this. Oh. Yeah. For some time now, and I'm extremely grateful, this particular dentist that I've known for 25 years or more, when I go to this particular dentist, and after he inflicts pain, I then walk up to the cashier. Oh. But you know what? For 25 or more years now, with this particular dentist, I walk up to the cashier, and the cashier says, "Just a minute, Reverend Scrivener, and I'll get your printout for you." And no matter what I've had done, she hands me a printout. And I thank her. And I say to her, "I'll drop a note to Dr. Talon." Because I look down at the bottom, and it always says, "Zero balance." And sometimes it's hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of work. And his kindness for more than two decades has provided a printout that always says zero balance. I'm not unappreciative of that. Now let me tell you something. If you'll step up to the heavenly accountant today, they'll provide a printout for you, and you know what it's going to say? If you say to the clerk of heaven, what's my sin balance? And they're going to hand you a receipt that says zero balance. Come on. Come on. Get happy. Come on. Man. That's it. That's it. When's that printout coming? Now. Now. That's the balance of your sin debt, my friend. It is zero balance. Amen. All right, now here's number two. A promised condition. A promised condition. Now look what he says there in verse 1. "Therefore there is now no condemnation." Say those two words with me. No condemnation. Say them again. No condemnation. That's amazing. Look at somebody and say, "That's amazing. That's amazing." It is. This is grace and mercy, my friend. It's grace and mercy. What do we deserve? Well, we deserve condemnation. We deserve God's wrath. We deserve the condemnation of God. You do. I do. We do. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how good you think you are. You deserve God's condemnation. You deserve his wrath. You deserve his judgment. You deserve his anger. You deserve separation. You deserve death, and you deserve hell. What do we get? What do we get? No condemnation. What do we get? That's it. That's it. It is a condition applied to your spiritual account. It's not a wish. Oh, I wish God would help me. I wish he wouldn't condemn me. Listen, it's not a wish. It's not a hope. It's not a desire, my friend. It is a promise. How much condemnation do you get? None. 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 That is a promised condition. Not guilty. Forgiven. Forgiven. Our guilt, our sin debt is forgiven. No condemnation. Here's the third thing. It's a positional standing. A positional standing. Now look at the next phrase. We're in verse 1 of chapter 8 of Romans. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. Now look at this. To them which are in Christ Jesus. Now stay with me for just a few moments. To them which are in Christ Jesus. He spends the next 17 verses clarifying the fact that the substitutionary death of the Savior. Now let's stop and look at that. Going down to verse 3. We're in Romans chapter 8. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son. Now who is that? Jesus. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And so let me clarify what I'm saying here. Paul spends the next 17 verses here clarifying the fact that the substitutionary death of the Savior. And all that means, my friend, is that Jesus Christ became our substitute. He died where we should have died. He died so that we wouldn't have to die. He became our substitute. He suffered the penalty of sin, our sin. He suffered the penalty of our sin so that we would not have to suffer the penalty of our sin. So he became our substitute. So the substitutionary death of the Savior and the subsequent dwelling of the Spirit. Okay, let's read about that. Go on down to verse 9 and let's read verses 9, 10, and 11. Now here's what they say. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make your spirit alive in your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. All right, now here's what that means. Now stay with me. This is critical theology, my friend, that you need to grasp and understand. But notice the fact that if you do not have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, now this is the Holy Spirit of God, this is God in spirit form. If you do not have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you don't belong to God. Now, I cannot say it any plainer, and I'm just the messenger. Don't get ticked off at me, my friend. I'm just telling you what it says right there. We just read that. 9, 10, and 11. So I'm saying to you what he is saying to us. If you do not have the Holy Spirit of God in you, then you don't belong to God. You're not a Christian. That's pretty sobering. That's pretty sobering. And the fact of the matter is, if we could hang out with each other for about 24 hours, that's all it would take. Wouldn't take that long, to be honest with you. But if we could hang out with each other for about 24 hours, you'd be able to figure out pretty quickly whether or not Jay's a fake. There are fake preachers, by the way. Just like there are fake people in your business. Sure. But I'm just saying to you, if you want to come and hang out with me for 24 hours, you'd figure out two things pretty quickly. One is, he practices what he preaches. And two, he sins. Yeah. Yep. Not deliberately. I don't get up every morning saying, well, I wonder how I can sin today. No. But it happens. And you'd figure that out in about 24 hours. Like I said, probably wouldn't take you that long. Guess what?
If you're looking to me, guess what I'm doing?
I'm looking at you. And it wouldn't take me 24 hours to figure out. That person's a fake. Because if in fact the Holy Spirit, what kind of spirit? The Holy Spirit of God, if he's living in us, then you're going to have a life that's reflecting holiness. Does that make sense? That's what he's saying here. And he's saying, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't belong to God. Now, that's pretty sobering. And the reality is, some of you here today don't belong to God. You show up and you go through the routine of church on Sundays, but you don't have the Spirit of God in you. So you need to evaluate that. You need to look in your spiritual mirror. Have you ever been born again? Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior? You ever repented of your sin and turned from your sin and turned to the Savior? And are you, in fact, following Jesus Christ? We'll see more about that in just a moment. Are you, in fact, following Jesus Christ? Do you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you? That's what he's saying here. So let me go back to finish what I started, and that is this. He spends the next 17 verses clarifying the fact that the substitutionary death of the Savior and the subsequent dwelling of the Spirit facilitates the positional standing of the saints. And we do have a positional standing, and that's what we read here in verse 1 of chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, look at this, to them which are in Christ Jesus. And the only way you got in Christ Jesus, my friend, is because of the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross in your place, in your stead, for your sins. And when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit of God moved into your life to take up residence in your life. And so because you're a Christian believer, because you're a follower of Jesus Christ, because you've been converted, because you've repented of your sin and turned to Jesus as your Savior, because you've been born again, then the Holy Spirit of God moved into your life to take up residence, and He is dwelling in your life right now. And consequently, because of the finished work of Christ on the cross and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life, then you belong to Him. If you're looking for a place to clap and get rowdy, that would have been a phenomenal place right there, my friend. Now think about it. Come on. It's that gives us as Christians this amazing positional standing with God. It has nothing to do with what you've done. It has nothing to do with your righteousness or your merit or your goodness. It's your faith position in Christ. And because you are in Christ, you have His covering, His righteousness, His blood all over you. I may have told you this, but a couple of weeks ago when the duck tragedy took place in Branson, I was at the hospital visiting with this family from Indianapolis and almost all black family, and I stood there with my arms around one of these black individuals, and I said, let me tell you something. When God looks at us today, He doesn't see black and white. He sees red, because we're both covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And my friend, when you have that standing with God, it doesn't matter about your righteousness. It doesn't matter about your goodness. It doesn't matter about your merit. It doesn't matter about your favor. It's not what you do, my friend. It's because you're covered with the righteousness of God. You're covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You're covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Write that down. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I've got it right there. For He has made Him, talking about Jesus, to be sin for us, He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This is an amazing exchange. Our sin for His righteousness. It's an exchange. What do we do to deserve that? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's why it's by faith. That's why it's by faith. It's God's grace, our faith, in response to God's grace. When Jesus Christ died for us, He took our sin upon Him, and He put His righteousness on us. He took our sin on Him. And He put His what? Righteousness on us. And that's that faith exchange. And so because of that, we are set free. Now follow this, from the penalty of sin. We are set free from the power of sin. And we are set free from the very presence of sin someday when we are transferred out of this life into the glorious heavenly life that God has in store for us. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. We're in Romans chapter 8 where it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Has made me free. Say that word, free. Free from the law of sin and death. So we are set free. We are set free from the penalty of sin. That means what the judge should have said and should say to us is, you are guilty and you deserve to go to hell where you will spend eternity. But we are set free from the penalty of sin. But also we're set free from the power of sin. So you don't have to live in sin, my friend. You can live righteously. You can live right. You can make right choices. You can stop living like the world. You can stop enjoying the flesh. You can stop doing what you've been doing that is ungodly and unholy and unrighteous, because we're free from the power of sin in our life. We have the righteousness of God in us and on us and through us, so that indeed we can honor the one who died for us and who has set us free. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. That's it. We're free from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. And someday, oh glory to God, someday we're going to be ushered out of this world into God's presence. And so we're even going to be set free from the presence of this sin-sick world. But it's all because of Jesus Christ and what he has done. And that's what I'm showing you. It's a positional standing that we have. Well, let me give you the last thing here. It's a progressive victory. It's a progressive victory. Now look at that last phrase there. We're in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now look at this. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, when I say to you, are you a Christ follower? Are you a Christ follower? Then the question is, are you following Christ? That was pretty profound, wasn't it? Are you a Christ follower? Well, not if you're not following Christ, you're not. Does that make sense? And so, if you're Christ follower, that means your progressive walk day by day is on the road with Christ. So that means you're finding out from him, hey, where are you going today? Because I'm going to go with you. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life. He wants to lead us and guide us and direct us. If Christ wants us to turn left, we need to be obedient and turn left. If he wants us to turn right, we need to be obedient and turn right. On our trip this week, Kay and I got a chance to meet a couple we had never met before, and they had accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior last January, I think they said, January or February. And I said, how long you guys been married? And they sort of hung their head, and they said, well, we're not. I said, well, how long you guys been shacking up? So they told me, and I said, when are you going to get married? And he's very honest, and he said, you know, we were just talking this week, maybe that's why God isn't blessing us and why we can't really get our life together, because we're not living right. I said, well, that would be very accurate. I said, that's true. I said, so do you love this girl? Oh, yeah. Do you love him? Oh, yeah. And I said, well, what's keeping you from getting married? I said, if you hurry, you can probably find a justice of the peace today. And he looked at her, and she started crying, and she said, I'd like that. And he said, okay. Now the man that introduced me to them told me that the reason they were there was they were hurting financially and he was giving them some work to do. So I reached in my pocket and I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay for the justice of the peace. And so I handed him some money. And I said, now get her done. And my wife said to her, you got any clothes to wear for the wedding? And she said, well, in case I were just a minute. And boy, she went to the car and got one of her finest dresses out. They were about the same size. She and Tanya were about the same size. And Kay got one of her finest dresses out and said, here's your wedding dress. And man, you see, when God convicts you, when God says do this or do that, I'm talking about them now. I'm talking about Chuck and Tanya. They didn't need to be shacking up. Now, some of you might be shacking up. Well, stop it. Don't profess Christianity and be living like the world. That's craziness. Or what is it that you're doing that's like the world? Listen, we're talking about progressive victory here. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the what? The flesh, but after the Spirit. The Spirit of God. When you understand your freedom and your standing and your position, then it sets you free to be who and what you are in Christ. Now, what if you mess up? Listen, you're gonna mess up. Yeah, that's not what you wake up every morning to do. I'm just saying, you're gonna mess up. But there's no condemnation. But because your position is in Christ and because you have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you, then my focus, my intent, my interest, and my passion isn't the carnal, but I'm under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he says there in verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus at your standing, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And there is progressive victory. Let's read the last few verses. Start with verse 14. We're in Romans chapter 8. Start with verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage. Listen, we're free to be what God wants us to be. So we haven't received the spirit of bondage or slavery or servanthood again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Are you following this? Starting with we're in verse 15 now. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. You know what? We're adopted. Not only are we born again of the Spirit, but we're also adopted. How many of you are physically an adopted child in your life? Let me see. Some of you here? Yeah. That's an amazing thing. And the reason is, Kay and I are stuck with our two boys. You got chosen. Wow. What an honor. But let me tell you something spiritually. We got chosen. God said, I want you. We're adopted. We're adopted children. God made a choice and said, I'm going to die for you, and you're going to be one of my sons, one of my daughters. Wow. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's the beautiful picture of intimacy. It's a picture of God being our daddy. It's close and it's personal and it's intimate. And it's loving and it's open and accepting and it's unconditional. And verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Listen, when I ask people, are you a Christian? It just ought to be so second nature. Oh, man, you bet the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. Look at verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Wow, that's another sermon in itself. What a phenomenal thing God's done for us. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Listen, when you have a sentence of freedom, follow this, when you have a sentence of freedom, and we do, when you have a sentence of freedom, you got a sense of freedom. You follow that? When you got a sentence of freedom, you got a sense of freedom, which results in a standing of freedom to be all that he wants us to be as his children. Isn't that a glorious thing? What a phenomenal deal. And many people live in self-condemnation. You know that sin that haunts you? You know that sin that's been gnawing at you? You know that sin that's been eating at you? And the devil tries to whisper in your ear and say, you're one of the lousiest Christians there is. You show up at church thinking you're holy Joe, thinking you're so pious. Let me remind you of this. Let me remind you what you did then. Let me remind you what happened back when you were a teenager. Let me remind you what happened. Let me remind you of what action you did. Let me remind you of what mistake you made. What a lousy, lousy Christian you are. And the devil's whispering in your ear, telling you all that junk, telling you those lies. And so consequently, we live in self-condemnation. We don't function in victory and freedom. But let me declare something to you, my friend, on the basis of the authority of the Word of God. If you are a born-again Christian believer, if you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, there is therefore now, there is therefore now no condemnation. None whatsoever. There is no condemnation, and there is not a sin in your life that is too black that the blood of Jesus Christ has not and cannot wash it as white as snow. And God has told us that he has carried our sins and iniquities as far away as the east is from the west, and he has buried them in the depths of the sea, and he remembers them no more. Do you think God has a poor memory? No, he doesn't have a poor memory. He chooses not to remember your sin, and you need to put it in the past, and you need to put it under the blood of Jesus Christ, because that's why he died, my friend. Quit living in self-condemnation and start living in Romans chapter 8, where there is therefore now what? No condemnation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you? I'm not talking about whether or not you come to church all the time. I'm not talking about whether or not you're active at church. I'm not talking about whether or not you're a good man or a good woman. No, I'm talking about, do you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Have you been born again? Do you know Jesus Christ as your very own personal Savior? Do you claim, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you are indeed a Christian? You are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And are you walking in the Spirit? Are you functioning in faith and walking in the Spirit? And we're going to have an invitation in just a moment. I want to pray for you first. And I want to invite Christians to the altar. I'll tell you what, you ought to flood the altar today just in nothing but thanksgiving. Nothing but thanksgiving. When you understand your standing. When you understand your freedom. Christians ought to flood this altar today to just say, God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. I'm not getting what I deserve. But there's therefore now no condemnation for me. And so I want to invite Christians to do that. And now, if you're not sure, I'd be running down the aisle and say, Jay, I got to have the Spirit of God in me. I gotta have I got to have the transfer of my sin to Jesus and his righteousness to me. Because there's no hope without that, my friend. No hope without it. So if you haven't, if you've never done that, then do it today. Do it today. And then, when you get up from your knees, walk in freedom. Walk in victory. Passionately serving my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, what an amazing truth from your word. Now apply it to our lives. And today, we want to walk in victory. And Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that there is now no condemnation in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand together. Come on to the altar. Come on to the altar. If I can help you in any way, then come by here.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burden alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I ask him, he will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, he all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Others need to come to the altar. You need to come to the altar. Oh, I'd be at the altar just thanking God for the fact there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. What an amazing declaration. How phenomenal is that? Do you need Jesus? Do you know that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you? Are you saying, Jay, are you judging? You didn't get that from the sermon, my friend. You're the one that needs to judge. I mean, and wow, like I said, if it wouldn't take me 24 hours, it shouldn't take you 24 hours. You're going to know that. Do you have more of an inclination toward the flesh and carnality and the world than you do of Jesus Christ? Man, if that's the case, I'd be judging whether or not I'm even born again. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple deal. If you're not sure, I've said this to you before. If you're only 90% sure, you're probably 100% wrong. I'd get right today. I'd make sure. I'd pin it down. I'd make sure that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And the way you tell you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that means you're following Jesus Christ. You're walking according to his principles and precepts. He's boss. He's in charge. He's the master of your life. He's the Lord of your life. You're under new management when you accept Jesus Christ, your Savior. Is that it? All right, we're going to sing one more verse if you need to come. Come on now.
Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world the victory wins. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
All right, God bless you. We'll honor any who may continue to pray. Are you happy?
Amen.
Amen. I tell you what, with a word of God like that, that ought to just, that ought to make us mighty happy. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your attentiveness. Let me remind you of a couple of things. One is apple pies. All right, so be sure to go by and help get those delivered. And then number two, tonight, what time?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Going to be a great evening, going to be a great month of wonderful fellowship and praise and worship. And starting tonight, you do not want to miss Ron and Haven Howard. They're going to bless you a bunch. And we'll start promptly at 6, and then right after that, we'll have some fellowship with some watermelon. And so just plan on coming. Invite people to come with you. Like I said a while ago, what a great opportunity to invite friends and neighbors with us for this month. All right, David Prock is one of our deacons of the week, and I just appreciate our deacons. We've got some good men, and I appreciate these men. David, come on up here and dismiss us in prayer. And on your way out, hug at least one person and tell them no condemnation. All right.